Sit down, man.
Glenn Beck.
Sit down, man.
Rand Paul.
Sit down, man.
LL Cool J.
Sit down, man.
Netanyahu.
Sit down, man.
Sarah Palin.
Sit down, man.
Newt Gingrich.
Sit down, man.
Toby Keith.
Sit down, man.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Jacob Heilbrunn, who is a senior editor at the National Interest and the author of They Knew They Were Right, The Rise of the Neocons. Previously, he was an editorial writer for the Los Angeles Times and a senior editor at the New Republic and a Japan Society Fellow. He has some articles at the National Interest, the Heritage Foundation, and Jim DeMint, and Does the GOP Need a New William F. Buckley Jr.? This, of course, in the context, Jacob, of what appears to be a civil war amongst Republican power brokers and opinion makers. Who's winning this war?
So far, it's inconclusive. The sides are the Tea Party and pro-business Republicans versus the former revolutionaries, such as John Boehner, who I think would like to reach some kind of compromise with President Obama. And Boehner came in with Newt Gingrich, but now he's not radical enough for the far right. And at the same time, William Kristol is saying that it doesn't matter if tax rates go up slightly on the wealthy, and is being denounced by the Wall Street Journal editorial page as an appeaser.
And I guess David Frum is in that category too, right?
He's definitely. Frum is the most reasonable. He bailed out about 2 years ago and recognized that the party is essentially controlled by fanatics.
So, Jacob Heilbrunn, when Bill Kristol says, as he did on Monday, that if we go over the cliff, meaning the fiscal cliff, what Republicans will have done is to make Democrats the party of tax cuts and Obama a president fighting for economic growth. That's not that radical. It seems rational. Is this what we're up against, the radical versus the rational?
Yes, I think Kristol has always been a tactician and strategist first, and an ideological zealot second. And he is a neoconservative, as opposed to, which has always been somewhat softer on the welfare state than the really hardcore Republicans. And Kristol is absolutely right. What the hard right doesn't want to acknowledge is that Obama holds all the cards. The tax cuts will automatically expire at the end of this year. And that would give Obama the chance in the aftermath to set the tax agenda exactly as he wants. The Republican Party is stuck between a rock and a hard place, and they just don't want to admit it yet.
And if they can't come to an agreement, then, as Kristol is saying, that a few days or a week after January the 1st, the GOP will almost certainly throw in the towel. Republicans will fold with lightning speed.
Yes, I think that's correct. But you can't underestimate the ideological zealotry. It's like the TARP. Remember when they refused to approve it and then the stock market tumbled, I think, 1,000 points in one day, and then they had to regroup and come back again? These are people for whom rational facts are not always this positive. These are people who don't believe in global warming. Some of them don't even believe in the Federal Reserve. And some of them don't even think we should have paper money, or they want to go back to the gold standard. They're not living in the 21st century, let alone the 20th.
Well, some of them believe that the dinosaurs were on Noah's Ark. So that takes
takes you back
a few centuries, doesn't it?
Marco Rubio had to backpedal. They're afraid. They're afraid of their own base. And that is really what's driving this, is that because of the way Congress has been gerrymandered, some of these congressmen would be punished by the electorate, by the hardcore voters, if they deviate from orthodoxy. I mean, this reminds me of this tax debate. It's reminiscent of this 5th century AD when you had these fights about the true nature of the Trinity in the Byzantine Empire. And you'd have these councils where they would solemnly debate what it was really constituted of. And they're tying themselves into knots over tax policy.
Well, I don't know which group of heretics are going to be burned at the stake here. Jacob Arlen, again, senior fellow at the National Interest and the author of They Knew They Were Right, The Rise of the Neocons. Previously, he was an editorial writer for the Los Angeles Times and senior editor at the New Republic and a Japan Society fellow. He has a couple of articles at the National Interest that we're talking about here, the Heritage Foundation and Jim DeMint, and Does the GOP Need a New William F. Buckley? So, you've mentioned Crystal and Frum as the sensible voices. I guess David Brooks is another one that are weighing in. Even Gingrich, who you mentioned earlier, he just recently said that if Hillary Clinton becomes president in 2016, the Republicans might as well pack up and go home. A lot of voices are out there, more or less, you know, either saying directly or obliquely that something's rotten in the state of the Republican Party. What's the sense, though, of, for example, on the other side of this argument, on the radical side, you have this peculiar fellow, Grover Norquist, who has these sort of soirees and meetings of young Republican activists. He's often been described as a Liberace with a wife, which is an odd description. But the long and the short of it is, what I'm hearing from the punditry is that his power is being eclipsed. And of course, it's important to note that his power entirely comes from these right-wing billionaires who fund him, doesn't it?
Well, I think the real, it's hard to know how much power he actually wields, and a number of senators and have been engaging in deviation from that pledge. I think in the end that the Republican Party is going to throw in the towel sooner rather than later. I think Boehner and Obama will come up with a solution in the next couple of weeks, and they will be able to push it through, and it will involve compromise actually on both sides. What's not really being talked about either is that Obama will have to make some concessions on entitlement spending. And I almost wonder if he wants to be put in the position of looking as though he's forced to do that as well. I think there's a lot of smoke surrounding this and a lot of posturing. But my gut guess is that they will come up with a solution. But the interesting question will be whether Boehner can get the House Republicans, enough of the House Republicans to go along. I mean, then that's essentially where, if he doesn't succeed, then he is a neutered leader for the next 2 years.
And he's got Eric Cantor breathing over his shoulder, right, who wants his job, and he's the guy that's tied in with the Tea Party zealots.
Yeah, though I think even Cantor has moderated. I mean, I think what we're not talking about the House leadership so much anymore as we're talking about the backbenchers and the Tea Party members who came to Washington with the objective of destroying the federal government. So they would be happy to go over the fiscal cliff. I think that's what gets lost in this discussion, is that a good chunk of the Republican Party is not interested in governing. Its goal is destruction. So that's essentially a Leninist approach, that the more chaos there is, the better off you are as a radical. Because these are radical Republicans. I wouldn't even, it's a misnomer to call them conservatives.
But also, in their radicalism, they seem to want to cause middle-class and working Americans additional pain, because what's involved in this fiscal cliff argument is, of course, is the extension of unemployment insurance benefits and the extension of the payroll tax cut.
They're absolutely adamant in the, and this is, again, a doctrinal belief that government handouts do not help the middle class or the poor. They simply encourage immoral behavior and make them dependent on handouts, and that in fact you're hurting them because you're preventing them from getting a job by following those kind of policies.
But why has the president, Jacob Haberman, in part, obviously he hasn't bought into this the sky is falling deficit reduction apocalyptic thinking, and certainly not on that bizarre moral grounds that you've just stated, that the Republican hardliners believe that helping Americans is tantamount to making them dependent. In terms of Social Security, you're not helping Americans. They paid for the damn thing. I mean, it's not broke. And a lot
I have to say, Ian, I agree with you. And another aspect of this debate is that I think the whole deficit reduction thing is phony. I don't think that the GOP is, or that many people in the GOP are really all that interested in slashing the deficit. What they're interested in is cutting entitlement programs.
And they're using the sky is falling deficit argument as a ruse to get to what they really want.
Right. This goes back to the 1920s, really, which is the idea that the more you cut taxes on the wealthy, the more the economy will prosper.
Right. But what about the notion that this is all a smokescreen for their real intentions? Why this jihad against, I suppose you've explained that, the jihad against the poor and the middle classes, that somehow it has this peculiar religious component that people who are getting government handouts, even though they're not government handouts, in the case of Social Security, they've actually paid for them. In the case of Medicare, they also pay for them. In the case of the payroll tax, that's a regressive tax brought in by Reagan. They pay for this. I just don't understand. Maybe what I'm complaining about here, Jacob, is that the Democrats and the political left haven't made a sufficiently coherent argument to eviscerate this nonsense.
Well, I think they've been fighting back. What amazes me is the consistency of the GOP, if you think about it, that they've been fighting on this same turf for almost a century now.
But I take it,
they opposed the New Deal then. They if you look at Rush Limbaugh and the other conservatives today, they're against the income tax, for example. There was a good article in the New Yorker about the conservative opposition to the income tax. The Tea Party is still opposed to the income tax. They view that as unconstitutional.
Well, that's that sort of libertarian wing of the party, right? And
but it's still also the pro-business, the idea that you go back to this laissez-faire economy where you have no regulation and no help and the government is as small a part of the economy as possible, you will unleash the entrepreneurial forces of capitalism and everyone will prosper and benefit.
So what's then going...
It's obviously propaganda, but I think some of them do sincerely believe it.
Well, just in the last minute or so, let's turn to your article at the National Interest, Jacob Haberman, Does the GOP Need a New William F. Buckley Jr.? The idea that you could suddenly find a leader to emerge out of the detritus of the Republican establishment that's been so beaten down by the Tea Party, and nothing, I think, no greater example of that is the defeat of Richard Lugar in Indiana by this Tea Party zealot who made a complete fool of himself talking about women who were raped should go ahead and have the child because it's God's will. Where's the evidence, though, that's even possible?
No, I don't think it is. The party is so fractured, but somebody, it won't be a Buckley, it won't be an intellectual, it won't be a political figure from somewhere. But right now, the party hasn't decided whether it's going to become a Southern rump regional party, which is what it's headed towards, of a shrinking white males based primarily in the South, or whether it's going to try and become a national party again, because it's and that fight has not taken place in the GOP. But I don't think it's going to be these. There's so many different intellectuals. Now, William Crystal is saying that the Republican Party has become a racket and that it needs to be purged of the extremists. So,
But isn't there something odd about that, Jacob Haberman? That it was Crystal, after all, who helped discover Sarah Palin and pushed for her And it seems to me that she's the one who's opened the door to these Tea Party types and to this kind of bizarre political amateurism that she represents. So isn't that the turning point, Sarah Palin?
Yes, that's a good observation. But I will also say something else, which is that when Victor Frankenstein created his son, Frankenstein,
mm-hmm.
he tried to run him down and stop him from doing damage. So the positive scenario would be that William Crystal and the others are now viewing with horror what they helped usher into being and that they want to destroy it.
Well, Jacob, this is, I guess, for Democrats, this conversation is kind of schadenfreude, isn't it?
There's no doubt that the Democrats went through a difficult period in the 70s and 80s. But I don't remember the Democrats being the kind of parlous shape that the Republicans are today. This really, what we're seeing, really, is the demise, it appears to be the demise of the movement conservative. Of this wing of the party that beginning in the 1970s drove out the moderates and hijacked the Republican Party for its own ends. And the question now will be, what's going to replace it? And where is the GOP headed? And there are no definitive answers to these questions yet. It's going to be a battle royale.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Jacob Halpern.
Thanks, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Jacob Halpern, who is a senior editor at the National Interest and the author of They Knew They Were Right, The Rise of the Neocons. Previously, he was an editorial writer for the Los Angeles Times and a senior editor at the New Republic and a Japan Society Fellow. He has a couple of articles at the National Interest apropos this issue, the Heritage Foundation and Jim DeMint, and Does the GOP Need a New William F. Buckley Jr.? We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about the new report on global power 2030 and the bad news that India and Pakistan might have a nuclear war by then.
So excuse me, Mr. Butter, I'm a Mr. Two, and you're giving Mr.